Log Talk Radio.
Live, Robert.
Live. We are live.
We are all the way live.
Okay. All the way live.
All the way live.
Lakeside. That's right.
Lakeside. That was it. That was it. I'm a DJ, man.
That
I'm
guy,
a DJ.
Charlie, wasn't it Charlie Wilf? Was he on Lakeside?
No, man. He was a Gap Man.
Man, I get those two mixed up every time. Were they related? Were those two bands related?
You asking me something I don't know now, but
no,
you got my The Gap Band, Charlie Wilson, right. Man, that joker was reborn.
Yeah, that joker hair turned black. He got thinner. Got some shades, cool shades on. Some of money to do it.
Put out all kinds of hits.
Yeah, some what money would do.
Yeah, it is, man.
But you know, Leah,
that's
a lesson. That's so many lessons in that. It goes all the way back to slavery. When you don't have it to start with, you can't get to that next level. And
exactly.
All these folks that talk about the, I didn't have any slaves. I didn't own any slaves. But your parents or the folks that looked like you did, and they you have that. That head start by default. Man, somehow we can turn any topic into back to slavery.
I know, man. That's kind of hardcore there, man. You can flip them, though. You're exactly right. You can flip it right back. Everything,
yeah.
Everybody needs to listen to my mentor, Neely Fuller.
Neely Fuller, that's right.
They don't understand why everything goes right back to that.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll tell you where I am today, man. I am at the, I'm at Flake's Chapel.
What?
I'm at Flake's Chapel.
Not Flake's Chapel.
Never heard
what
of
that?
Church, man.
Flake's Chapel. Hey, wasn't there a Reverend Flake? Was it named after him?
You asked me something else I didn't know, man.
I don't know a Reverend Flake. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But where's Flake Chapel, man? What's going on?
It's down here between Ansonville and Waysboro, not too far. Thanks, Tom. Anyway, I'm down here this afternoon, this evening with the Caraway Foundation, the marvelous Miss Tina Caraway. She is doing her program. And she just walked up on me, man. I'm going to let her tell you why I'm here or explain better why I'm here. But anyway,
please.
She just walked up. She's the founder of the Caraway Foundation and a lot of other stuff. She's clapping. They're clapping. Anyway. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen, Tina Caraway.
Hey, everybody, how are you?
Hey, Tina.
Hey. Listen, I am excited to have your brother, Brother Leon Gatewood, with me tonight. I get some Leon Gatewood time. We're having our Anson Youth Leaders Academy graduation, and I'm excited about it because this started 3 years ago, and the students that are graduating were in the sixth grade then, and now they are moving on from eighth grade to the high school, and some are going to Anson Early College, so I'm excited about that, and we're honoring the students that are going to continue in our program. And so it's exciting that, one, that I got a program that's still that's sustaining even through the pandemic. And even before that, it's exciting that I have a program that's sustaining, period. So, Leon is here to help celebrate this, and he's a partner. And I have Chief Spencer. We got the magistrate out here with us tonight. He always swears in the students. So he's here to give them encouraging words, and we're here at my home church, and so the pastor is here giving encouraging words as well. So it's nice, and the parents are here. It's just exciting that kids are.
Hey, Carol, I have a question for you. Why do you do it? What motivates you? What drives you? Hello? Did I lose her? Hello? Hey, Joseph, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Robert. You
okay. I think we lost Miss Caraway. I know it was a tough question, but it wasn't that tough. How you doing over there, Joe?
I'm doing great.
I hit the mute button.
Hit the mute button.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Oh, I hear you now. Okay. Did you hear my question?
So, yeah, I did. And what drives me?
We did not get your answer.
You did not get my answer. So my answer is my niece and nephew, and I say that because I have cousins that I call niece and nephews. I have the community kids that calls me. They call me Aunt Tina. So they drive me. I look at those faces and I see myself and who, when I was their age of bright eyes, big ponytail, and wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I just wanted to do everything. I said I was observant. People said I was nosy. But I was inquisitive and wanted to know all the things. And so what drives me is to get up and provide them with the opportunity to be able to see, feel, touch, hear the things that they think that are impossible, but they are possible. And that sometimes it's at their reach. And I want to be able to help them reach those goals. I want them to be able to see things that are opportunities for them. And then for them to decide, I tell them to try something once. Always try it once. So that way when people ask you if you don't like something, do you like it, and you say no, or you, even if you say yes, you can provide them with a detailed answer of why you answered that way. So I do it because I love my county. I love kids. I want them to be successful. So that's why I do it.
Well, I just want to say thank you from the Marketing Pulpit TV and radio show. And we want to thank you for being a pivotal part of the community and one of
thank
the
you.
Leaders and the village. You are a spoke in the wheel of the village, and we need more people like you. I just want to say thank you again.
Thank you. And I hope that we can get back up to Washington, D.C. soon, too.
All right. Well, you have a permanent home up here.
I know. I got to run, but I'm going to send a student out here to talk to you, okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Leon, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, man. Miss Caraway, she's a force, boy. She's a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely, Robert. And you know what? Anson County is full of them, man.
Full of Miss Caraways?
Full of forces to be reckoned with.
Full of...
But Miss Caraway is definitely one of the powerhouses. She has done a lot for the kids. As a matter of fact, you know, she was behind that group of kids that came to D.C.
Oh, I remember.
She was so instrumental in getting us to show around through Radio 1. She was,
right.
She's given out over probably 1,400 free computers in Anson County. You know, used refurbished computers in Haley. And she's done it like that. And now they just bought the old historical society building down in Ansonville. They have converted to their home office, community center. Just amazing stuff going on here in Anson County. And I'm excited to be here tonight where these young people are graduating, you know, getting some, they've been through, one just walked up on me. What's your name? Zaria Underwood. How you doing tonight, Zaria? I'm going to let you talk to Radio Land, okay?
Okay.
Now, right quick, where you go to school?
Anson Middle School.
Anson Middle School. Okay, hold on. I'm going to let you talk to Robert. I think I have Robert and Joseph. Anybody else on the line with us, Robert?
I have Joseph here. Joseph, say hello. What's your name, sir?
Hold on. I'm going to let Zari introduce herself. Hold on a minute. She's a member of the program. You're graduating tonight, right? You're not graduating tonight? Okay.
Zakiya.
Got you covered. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Zaria Underwood. Hold on a second. Little guy.
Hello.
Hey, Zaria. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
So what are you doing out there tonight? What are you going to be doing tonight?
I am going to go to the next accomplishment in the Anson Youth Leaders. I've got one more year out here, then I'll be graduating it, and it is pretty fun. I like doing it a lot, especially helping out in my community. I like giving out food and boxes, especially to the people who need it right now, especially with COVID and people losing jobs. And I just like giving back to the community. I really appreciate it, like having people have smiles on their face. I just like helping people.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you become such a helpful person? What made you decide to be so helpful to the community?
Growing up, I was in a lot of stuff. Well, still am in a lot of stuff. And I had a support system, which is my mom and most Mrs. Leon Gatewood, actually. I had a huge support system growing up, and I just thought I should give back to the community and help out people who need when they helped me out when I was younger.
Wow. Joseph, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it.
Any questions for this young lady?
Say what now?
Yes. And what grade are you in, Zaria?
I'm in eighth grade.
You're in the eighth grade, so you're in eighth grade going to the ninth?
Oh, no, I'm in seventh grade going to the eighth this year.
Oh, you're in the seventh grade. You're very articulate for your age. I'm impressed.
Yes, indeed. Well, go ahead, Joe.
Have you decided about what you want to do once you... get out of school and all that? Have you ever thought about it?
I have thought about it. I like to do a lot of things. So I have thought about being a lawyer, a OBGYN, barrel racing. I've just been doing a lot of things and thinking about a lot of things. But I haven't just, did my main focus because, like I said, I like helping people. So I can't have, five different careers on helping people. I just got to stick to one. So... I don't really know
what
I want to be. I just know I
want to
help somebody in life.
Well, you know what?
Plenty of time to think about it. But like I say, just always keep in mind what your goal is, going to a career where you can do what you like doing, which is helping people. Of course, there's a lot of ways you can do that and still have a good career. So. Stick to your dreams, and I'm sure you'll be successful.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, dear. Thank you very much. And I just want to say thank you for you're very wise and you care and present in your delivery. You do have I tell you, if you ever decide to become an attorney, you have already one leg in the door with your ability to deliver your words and your ability to put sentences together. And that's one of the requirements of the field of law, whether you want to be an OBGYN. Any of those professions allow you to fulfill your purpose of helping people. And I say this to the day I'm as long as I'm on this earth. It does not matter what profession you're in. If you decide you're going to help people, you can find a way to do it no matter what you decide to be. So like Joseph said, take your time, so much information, surround yourself with positive people like you just mentioned earlier, your parents, Leon and Ms. Caraway, and just continue to learn and grow and prosper. And the future is very bright, I can assure you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Josiah. All right. Now what she do? Could she deliver or what, man?
She delivers, boy.
Brother,
you know what?
Man,
hey, Leon, she could be a mailman, too, because that girl can deliver.
Hey, man, I'm gonna try to laugh at that.
It was corny. That was not my best joke, I'm gonna tell you.
That was cornier than Grandpa Clyde's cornfield, man.
Hey, man, it's been a long day, man. I can't, everyone can't be a home run, okay? I don't think they don't get on first base.
Joseph.
Yeah.
He's mighty quiet over there, Joseph. Now, you know, when somebody usually tell a joke that bad, you usually say something.
Well, nothing to say.
That's pretty bad, man. That's the ultimate diss.
Joseph said that was for the world. He didn't need to even comment on that one.
Same thing you go without saying.
That one of them to speak for itself.
Hey, no, bro.
That was a pregnant joke.
You better bring that one on out, Joe. Better deliver that one for us.
Yeah, you
like
him.
It's a bad night. It's a bad night.
Only thing worse than my joke was Joe's response.
It's a bad night. Oh, it's a bad night.
Joke. This is a corny joke night. My goodness.
You know, some nights like that.
You know,
Johnny Kaufman made a career off of telling corny jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every joke
you got,
Johnny Kaufman.
You got a joke. Well, you and Robert have bright futures.
Not really.
Yeah. Dust on my joke book. Hey,
yeah.
Man, what's going on out there at the Flake Chapel?
We got another young man here, man. We're going to let you guys talk to in a second. Let him take a couple of deep breaths and let him allow him to introduce himself to you.
All right.
Yeah, we have all these. It's amazing, man, to see these young people dedicate themselves to this program. Let me see what your shirt says there, brother. The Caraway Foundation, Anson Youth Leaders Academy. That's amazing. What you got there in your hand, little brother? Oh, you thought you were going to do it in there. You're going to do it here. There you go. All right. Well, yeah, here you go, man. What's your name, brother? Adrian Logan. Adrian Hogan. Let me do that again. Brother, we have Mr. Adrian Hogan here. He's looking all spiffy and smelling good, man. This dude smell like he just came out the one of those factories. I was about to say Brute, but, you know, Brute's old school. What's the name of that cologne, man?
Old Spice.
Solo. You got just stepped out the Polo factory, man. He's a cool brother. Got the cool glasses on and stuff, man. How old are you, brother? 14 years of age. Mr. Adrian Hogan. Brothers Robert, Joseph, meet future leader Adrian Hogan.
Say hello. All right.
Hello.
Hey, Adrian. How you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
But Adrian, now what you brought? I have Joe up here with me. What brought you out on this beautiful night?
My graduation ceremony, which I worked so hard for to become a leader.
Are you graduating tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what do you like to do? What are some of the things you've been involved in over the past few years?
Football and the play, the Lion King Jr.
Oh, you in the Lion King?
Yes, sir.
Were you the lion?
No, sir. I was the hyena.
Hyena? Did you have to laugh as like a hyena?
Yes, sir.
Boy, do you know that the hyena is one of the most fiercest animals in the jungle? I don't know if you know this. People think it's the lion. They think it's the tiger. If you ever watch some of these movies or some of these documentaries, these a tiger, a lion, they will all run for the hills when a hyena comes on the scene. I don't know what it is about a hyena that frightens these other animals so much. Do you carry that kind of presence in life like a hyena?
No, sir.
Oh, so you don't scare people away, huh?
No, sir.
Okay. Hey, Joe, you got any questions for Darian? For Adrian? Now, what grade did you say you're in? What grade are you in?
I'm in a ninth grade.
And what do you want to be when you get out of school? Have you thought about it?
I want to become an actor.
Actor? All right.
Yes, sir.
Now, who's some of your favorite actors?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Are you going to be a comedic actor or a serious actor? Or do you have a preference?
I say comedic actor.
Are you funny?
A little bit.
I believe so. I can hear it in your voice. What do you think, Joe?
I'm funnier than they are, man.
But Leon was picking on a minute ago because he gave some pretty corny jokes. So I'm sure you're probably funnier than we are over here. As a matter of fact, reminds me of this joke. No, I'm not even gonna go there tonight. I'll leave the jokes. I don't want to give you any bad influences on how to tell bad jokes. I want you to be funny and like Kevin Hart when you get out of school.
Yes, sir.
All right, are you making good grades in school?
Guys, you got to go back in, man. You're gonna.
Oh yes, sir.
All right then. Well, look, man. Good talking to you. Have a good good life and much success in the program. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You hear me? All right, go. Yeah, Adrian. This guy was in the Lion King Jr. play. These guys, Joseph was there. Joseph saw Adrian at work. He was one of the hyenas, Joseph. He was Ed. Ed didn't say much. He just kind of made noises. But he had to be funny doing that.
He had to really perform in that role because he had to make
people think he could do something only by making noises. And that was, I thought it was kind of cool.
So the hyena didn't do much talking in the play, huh?
No, the hyena didn't do much talking. He made a little noise. He's like, oh, yo, yo, yo. Every time somebody says something, they say some stuff, then they say, Ed, and they look at Ed. And he'll go, whatever. He's kind of different. But like I say, man, we got all kind of people here tonight to help motivate these young people, man. Matter of fact, we have the police chief here, the state of Spencer, Waysburg police chief. He's here. And I'm going to let you guys talk to him for a minute. Come here, chief. Come here a minute. Holler at my brothers, man. This is the Brothers for Real radio show, man.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. We're nationwide, man. We're worldwide, really. All the people people listening from Africa, from everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's blog talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to kind of get an idea. What keeps you so active in the community? What makes you so passionate about everywhere somebody asks you to show up, there you are? And people feel so comfortable asking you to come out because they know you're going to come out.
Yeah.
They know you believe in it. But anyway, I got my brother Robert and my brother Joseph on the line, and they're going to maybe have a brief conversation with you, okay?
Okay.
Brothers, good. Police Chief Thayer Spencer, the Chief of Waysboro, the Waysboro Police Department, right here, brothers.
What's up, Chief? What's up?
How y'all doing this afternoon?
Man, let me tell you, I like you already. You're out here on a beautiful, what is this, Wednesday evening. There's so many other things you could be doing. You could be locking up bad guys or whoever knows what else she does. But for some reason, you're opted to come out to support these young people. What, man, what makes you do it? What motivates you?
Well, after walking inside that building and seeing such beautiful young men and young ladies that is our future, that's worthwhile for me to stop everything that I do every day as just being a law enforcement officer, the ability to come back out and see what the future is bringing to us and what I can share to help that future happen. I mean, that would make me be here and be able to do stuff like this.
Now, how long have you been involved in this in these activities? Is this something you've been doing all your life, or did a light bulb just come on one day? Or is it in your blood, or what? I mean, what's is this something you've always been involved in?
Well, after I became, you know, first time I got a chance to be in a leadership role, I know God didn't put me in that leadership role just to be a spell leader. He
Amen.
Put me in that leadership role to continue to give back and to make future leaders. If I can reach just one, to let them know how valuable they are, to continue to do good and to make a change and for a change for the best, I mean, that's that. So I've been doing it, I know, for the past 15, 20 years.
Let me ask you this. Now, there's been a lot of contention between police and the community and over the past few years over you've seen what happened with George Floyd. And many people just see the police in a negative light. So I'm sure that what you're doing can mitigate some of that distrust. What would you say to other police officers to help them kind of reduce some of this tension between the community and the police force?
Well, I was in a training back here in 2015, and
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that year is right. And it was a speaker there. He was the chief of police
mm-hmm.
from the area where they had this police shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, not a police shooting. It was a shooter that went into the school system.
Right.
And I can't remember the school right off the top of my head right now. But one of the things he told every chief, which was about 350 chiefs in that room, say, if you don't listen to your community, this is the kind of stuff that you're going to have.
Amen.
You're
going
to have to listen to your community. And if you don't listen to your community, you will have the riots because people get fed up. People
Man.
Get fed up. When they see things is not going right, people get tired. And one of the things I do as the chief of police, every minor complaint, everything that they saying that we're not doing or they felt like they've been, I want us to listen.
Hmm.
And if you don't listen, you're going to have issues. And that's one of the things that I strive for every day. I'm not saying every law enforcement officer is going to agree with me for every complaint that come across my desk, but Chief Spencer is going to take the time to listen.
Man, that is the secret sauce. That is the secret sauce. Josie, we have a question for Chief Spencer. Josie. Okay, I think we lost Josie. Well, good
Hello,
Chief.
I'm here.
Oh, go ahead, Josie. We
Hello,
hear, listen
here.
To the, you hear the Chief?
Yeah, I heard him. Chief Smith, is that correct?
Spencer.
How you doing, Chief
yes,
Spencer?
Yes, sir.
I'm fine. Are you from this area?
Yeah, from the Waysburg area. Yes, sir. I was born and raised here, lived here all my life, raised my girls here, and married a local person.
All right. Homegrown.
Let me ask you this. Do the police officers, do they get any specific training as to constitutional issues? In other words, you know, so they understand what people's constitutional rights actually are, or do they just have their own guidelines, or they try to stick to, well, I know you have your own guidelines in the way you do law enforcement, but I see a lot of instances where it seems like police officers really don't know what the Constitution says about certain issues in their, you know, in how they do that day-to-day business. So do y'all have any type of training in constitution in the Constitution itself?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's one of the things that I'm gonna be as honest as I can and fair as I can by answering this question. One of the first things that an officer, when he's into rookie school, which is called basic law enforcement training, they teach constitutional law. That's the first thing they learn. And
all
then
right.
6 months of this training, and I think maybe some get to the point, well, that, you know, get into certain areas that they work in and feel like, or watch other officers that not staying up to date with stuff, they tend to shy away from it, but then it takes that leader that's in that department to make sure that stays. And you got to stay on top of that stuff as constitutional rights, legal. You know, we do legal update every year. Automatically, you have to do legal update. You learn about the different laws of search and seizures. You know, so it's out there. So, you know, I'm not making excuses for ones that don't do it, but at the same time, you have to know what your actions is whenever you deal with the community. You know, if they telling you something that you got to back down off of, you got to back down off of.
Man, you sound like you should be running the if there is such a thing as a National Police Commission of Force, sound like you should be in charge of it. Because one thing you said, there's two things that are very pivotal that you just elaborated on. One was listening. You, regardless of the profession you're in, if you can listen to your constituents, to your stakeholders, you're going to have an upper hand. The second thing is knowledge, education, understanding the law of the land, particularly in the area in which you work. So if you take those two things together and you can and spread that throughout your department, which I'm sure you do, it is no surprise that you can relate to this event that they're having today, why people follow you, why people invite you, why you show up, because you have two very important ingredients that is tantamount to a successful police chief. And I just want to tip my hand to you because you're doing it the right way.
Well, I really appreciate that. But at the same time, and I'm gonna let you know now, you have to fight for the, you know, for what I tell you, because everybody that works for you don't agree with you.
That's right.
But then
right.
at the same time, the people that don't agree with you, you have to stand that ground. You know, this is just the way it is. When we had the march back here, the Black Lives Matter march, mm-hmm. I got out when I marched with them, me and the sheriff. We both marched. And it was a group of people coming in that was upset and had a right to be upset when they seen the relationship that me as the chief and the sheriff had with the community. They know, now there's something right here. It's something right here, so. You know, they these people were marching and they happy, and they got the backing of the, you know, the lead law enforcement agencies here. So that really made me feel good.
Well, when you're standing on justice and knowledge, those are two forces that are very formidable. So keep those two things working for you. You can conquer those foes. I mean, not necessarily conquer like beat them, but you can stand up against anybody when you have knowledge and justice. Once again, thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Well, I really appreciate that. I had someone to tell me the other day, well, Chief, all lives matter. I said, yes, sir, all lives do matter. But if we want all lives to matter, let's get Black Lives Matter in check first. So then we can make it all lives matter, you know, and that's
right.
what we got to do.
That's right. Black Lives Matter is not a matter of exclusion. It's a matter of focus, because that's where the problem seems to lie. So, and people that see it differently, I think they need to check themselves.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to start checking themselves. The community's going to check them on.
Somebody's going to check. They're going to get checked
exactly.
one way or the other.
That's right. That's right.
All right,
I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity. And I thank Mr. Gatewood for giving me the opportunity to come out here. He has been a very great supporter of me, and he's seen the battles I have fought, and he's always in my corner, and I really love him for that.
Well, I want to say thank you from the Marketing Pulpit Radio and TV Show International. This show is broadcast all over the world, and it takes people like you to make this show successful. I thank you for being a participant tonight, and Godspeed to you and much success in your future endeavors.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, folks. That was a good chief. Spencer. Man, that guy, Joseph, what do you think, man? This guy, he's got it going on.
Brothers, yeah. Brothers.
Hey,
brothers, let me tell you right quick. Let me tell you right quick.
Chief is the man.
You just don't know what cops go through, like in these chief positions, dealing with their subordinates, the community at large. It's a shame what they have to go through. I can imagine. And the catch is, that's why when we get people in positions like that, we have to show them support. Because otherwise, they may cower down and cave to all that foolishness, that all lives matter stuff. When we see every day what cops are doing to black people's lives, I mean, just imagine if that was just anybody's life. I'm just saying, these mothers out here losing their children, losing their husbands and their daddies and stuff to these foolish people out here with these guns that just shooting people at random. So when you have people in these positions, we have to pull them into the table and say, look, man, what can we do to help? What can we do?
Well, Leon, you're exactly right, because if he's standing out there by himself and making these kind of pronouncements and marching but the community is not behind him, eventually that's going to start wearing on him. He's going to say, why am I doing this? I'm out here fighting for these folks, and they won't even support me as I fight for them. So I think what I've heard enough from him today. He just said two things that just really just solidified for me. This guy, he has a future. The fact that he listens, he knows the law. And those are two things you can always stand on.
Beyond the thing, because the reason I brought that question up, because a lot of things that these police officers do.
Send me one more.
End up resulting in the death of black people, or black people being, or anybody for that matter, falsely, you know, being incarcerated. It just seems like to me they're just trampling over the Constitution. Of course, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So it doesn't matter.
And I was just going to say, Joseph, that was a very exciting question you asked.
I was going to say, Joseph threw a hard ball at the brother. That was not a layup.
Now, I tell you what, he answered it.
Yeah.
He knocked it out of the park, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, see, that's something I've always wondered about. Do they actually teach these police the Constitution?
Hey, Leon.
Right.
Uh-huh. Joseph threw the man a hard ball. Threw him a curve.
A curve with backspin on it.
The only reason I asked the next question, because Robert had already asked him the question that I wanted to ask him.
Oh, I already gave him the layup. I had given him the layup already, huh?
Yeah, you already asked him the question I wanted to ask him. So, but that's a question that's always been in my mind. For example, my granddaughter, for example, she was stopped by the police up there, you know, Brianna. She was stopped by the police up there in Concord. And they stopped her, you know, really for no reason.
They're crazy up there, man.
That I could think of.
They're crazy up
and
there.
And the first question they asked her was, may I search your car? And so my thing is, unless you have some probable cause to want to search her car, so why are you asking, you know, a 20-year-old, is it all right for me to search your car? And, of course, you don't expect a 20-year-old to know that she has the right to say, no, you can't search my car. You know what I'm saying?
And she's intimidated by law enforcement.
And first of all, and next, she's intimidated by law enforcement. But, of course, now, even though she doesn't know that the police can't search her car without probable cause, the police should know that. And he shouldn't even, you know, ask somebody a question like that, knowing that it puts them in a very precarious situation that could lead to some type of legal action against him. Just like, for example, when the guy searched the car, well, he found a knife in the car. And, of course, and it was a knife like anybody could have in the car, you know, like a carving knife, a butcher knife.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, what was the probable cause? Did he see a turkey in the back window or what? You know, so why he stopping her and pulling over? And, of course, anyway, we end up having to go to court for that and all that kind of stuff just because the police overstepped his bounds, in my opinion.
Did he say a turkey in the back window?
Yeah, what I'm saying, you know, he found, it's like I was saying, just like the reason I threw that kind of, you know, kind of being satirical.
Another corny joke, in other words. Joe's a corny again. Come on, Joe.
Oh,
you got to step it up, man.
Let me stop. I have a parent here, man. This is exciting.
It was a turkey joke, anyway.
It was a turkey.
Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
Hey, Robert. Joseph, Leon.
Oh,
how you guys doing?
Hold up, man. Got another. What's up, brother? Look, I have this parent that just stepped out. We're going to let her speak right quick. What's your name, man?
Sabrina Clark.
What's your son's name?
Adrian Hogan.
You remember that intelligent young man we just talked to that played a hyena in the play? His mother is here right now. Get up, boys. Hey.
Doing some static.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good.
Doing?
And you all?
Doing great.
Let's find out where the static is coming from.
I'm just getting on.
Yeah. It's not real color.
I'm on, too.
Hold on. Miss Clark, hang on. I think that was Joseph. Joseph, we muting you for a second there. Hold on. We'll put you back on in a second. Miss Clark, thank you for joining the Marketing 4-Bit radio and TV show. We are broadcasting all around the world, and we just spoke to this young man named Adrian, and he found it so let me try a good word to put it, a word that is deserving of the impact he had on us. He found like he had been, let's put it this way, sound like he had some great role models, sound like his head is on straight, and I just want to say thank you. We just need more young men like him out here. That means something is going on right at the home. What's the secret sauce?
Faith. That is the secret sauce. I'm a single parent, so I try to instill in him that, you know, he can do anything, be respectful, keep God first, and he will be successful. I'm constantly talking to him about stepping out, doing what's great. Don't follow the crowd. I constantly preach to him because I am a single mother. I'm raising a 14-year-old black male in the world today.
Oh,
and
goodness.
I grew up from Anson County, so I'm a product of Anson County myself.
Lord
and I actually moved to Charlotte, and I came back. And so I wanted to raise my son here. So I was like, well, I know that great things can come out of Anson County, and I wanted him to have the same upbringing that I had. And that was in the church with my support of my family, and we still
Lord
have
mercy.
That same concept. Faith, God, as well as family, and that's what I preach, and that's what I do in my home.
Wow.
Well,
man,
I'm ready to preach. I want to preach. All right.
Miss Clark, I have Joseph Gatewood, I have Gatewood, and we meet here every Wednesday. We talk about relevant topics for our community, and I don't think we've had a show where we didn't at some point focus on our youth and wonder what kind of future they have. What do you see some of the challenges that your young man and other young men like him might be facing going forward?
That's a very good question. For Anson County is a rural county, and I want him to know that just because you are from a small place doesn't make you insignificant. You are strong by faith. Your education can take you anywhere. So he just got accepted to Anson Early College, which I'm blessed because we didn't have that growing up when I was here. So for him to be able to have that
opportunity to go to the Anson Early College as a ninth grader to go ahead and prepare himself for college, I am just overwhelmed and ecstatic and blessed at that opportunity that he's going to have. Me, myself, I have master degrees, so I try to teach him, you know, get your education. Don't settle for less. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. I know he enjoyed the Lion King play. He was nervous in the beginning with Holler that Mr. Leon Gate with them put on. He was nervous, but by the end of that play, that's all my child talked about was that play. And we never had that either here in this county. But for him to be able to have that, to experience something new, I want him to be able to have that opportunity to say, hey, I don't have to stay in this county. I can go do whatever it is that I want to do. But if you come back, be impactful, do something, help others, help out. So,
Rum Kelly.
Yeah.
Got a question for Ms. Clark, Rum Kelly. Rum Kelly.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm excited. What I want to do is just reaffirm some of what she's saying, because I think as a society, we have underestimated faith. And see, she's making my case because you know how we benefited from faith, having parents in faith, having faith and believing that no matter how bad it looks, there's a larger force out there somewhere. And if you believe that that larger force is for you, whether you're going through these personal things or systemic things, it will make you a better person and more confident. And a lot of times, we are lacking the confidence needed to succeed. And I think that connection to faith is so powerful. And we found it to be the case throughout the civil rights movement. Those people who were building those colleges, those people who were building those HBCUs and institutions, the McKinsey Farmers Bank, all those people are connected to faith. And so she's just making the point. To God be the glory. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's all I can say. Amen.
Okay. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to be able to speak on behalf of the parents. At this time, I'm going to step back in and grab another parent to be able to come out and speak with you guys. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. Great job. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for joining the marketing pulpit.
Wow. That was powerful, guys. That was powerful. And see, what happened, we had parents like this behind us when we were doing this Lion King Jr. play, parents like this behind their children, making sure their kids performed excellently. These parents are what made the play, you know. If we didn't have the problem of running kids down, trying to make sure they were at rehearsals, because the parents made sure they were at rehearsals. The parents wanted to be proud of their kids. The parents knew their kids had the power to do what they could do. And it was just an amazing experience. Anyway,
Leon,
that was,
can I say something to Leon real quick? Leon, man, I want to thank you for what you did with that play. Because, you know, sometimes we'll see things like that. I might see something like that. That probably wouldn't be that much to the people I'm trying to reach. And you took that thing, and I think you really – maneuvered and allowed it to fit and be placed into the imagination of these black youth in Anson County. And you all took it, you ran with it, and you have parents like that and real examples of youth and children. It inspired them to use that imagination and find new talents, find new niches. And that is, you know, you can't, there's no price you can put on that. And so
but it is,
be the glory. Huh?
But Curtis, what you're saying is I could hear the excitement in the young man when he spoke, and the mother, the excitement in her voice when she spoke. I said, man, that people don't realize sometimes the impact of these type of moves. They may seem small in their face value, but they go so deep and have such profound impact that sometimes people don't realize how impactful it is.
Man, I'm telling you, that is
Curtis, let me tell you what happened real quick, man. We went to see the play in
in Mecklenburg County, one of those rich schools. And I said, look, our kids can do this better than this. You know, they had all the money, they had all the props, they had, oh, man, they had it all, man. But I just looked at what they did, and I said, now, our kids can do better than this.
Mm-hmm.
I know our kids.
See, that's a good thing. What I want to know is what made you think they could do better? What made you think that? I'm just being the advocate. What made you think that?
Because I grew up as a child, and I knew what we could do. I mean, that's just it. I grew up over at Mama and Reverend Gatewood. I just knew what we could do. I know what we as children could do. I knew we could sing,
So let me get this straight. When you said you knew that we could do that, you were talking about, was it white kids versus black? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I was
Okay, because see, because when you said I knew our kids could do better, I didn't know if you just had seen the people in Anson County around you doing some things, but I see what you're saying. You're saying you saw the white counterparts doing it where they had all the resources and so on and so forth, but you had confidence or faith that the people that you knew that was kind of struggling, black folk who had not had the opportunity, if they had that opportunity, they could do better. That's what you're
doing. And I say that saying also, now some it turned out a couple of our main players ended up being white kids, you know, in the play.
Right.
But like I say, so, you know, that's just the way things happen. When you open up opportunity for everybody,
opportunity.
That's what you get.
Opportunity is the word.
That's right.
Because
you
have opportunity and exposure for everybody, you get it. And when you're in a town where 50% black kids, and you got a high school where it's about 70% to 80% black, that's what you're going to get. You should see more black kids excelling. You should see that.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just math.
And you were not out to keep anybody out. You just wanted to help to get some people in that might have been pretty much locked out through societal flaws. Right.
Because I know the arts, our kids gravitate to the arts. It's part of our culture. We gravitate to the arts. And the arts can build character, build confidence.
Exactly.
The arts do all that. So that's that's what it's all about. Anybody have another young student that just walked out this year?
I got you.
You guys go ahead. We don't have only about 8 minutes left in the show, but I do have a parent or two that stepped out here. So you guys carry on. I'm going to find out who we got here, all right?
All right. And this is good stuff, guys. This is how you pull your media, your resources to uplift, to highlight, to showcase the great things that's happening in our community. We're not talking about somebody getting shot or beat up. We even had a police chief on here who talked about how police chiefing should actually work. And I think that was one of the highlights of this. He told us today how police chiefs should actually behave. We had a chief Spencer, and he talked about how he listens to his constituents and how he understands the law and how those two how those two factors work together have made him a great chief. He said he was out there walking with the Black Lives Matter protest. He said, that's the way you do it.
Right.
So I said, man, my man.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So who do we have there, Leon? I guess we don't have anybody yet.
Okay, guys. I have the young lady here. Who we got here? Lydia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have Lydia. What's her last name? Luna. Lydia Luna. All right, Lydia Luna. Ladies and brothers, we have Miss Lydia Luna here to talk to the Brothers Pereira Radio Show. All right.
Lydia.
Whatever they want to say, we'll call
it. Hey, Lydia.
Hi. Yeah.
Lydia, do you know that you are being heard all around the world? This is the Marketing Pulpit International, and we have broadcasts all over the world. And so you are live right now all over the world. You have every right to be excited. But what about this event tonight? What brought you out to this event?
Well, Miss Caraway did. She told us we had a ceremony to attend.
Okay. And are you graduating tonight?
Yeah, I'm graduating.
And what are you graduating? What grade are you in?
Well, I'm in ninth now.
Okay. And you graduated from eighth grade, okay?
Yeah.
So how was school this year? What were some of the things you did in school this year?
I was online, so I didn't really do much, but it was kind of exciting and scary just because, like, that was the first year I was online, and, yeah, that was, and
what
then.
Was that? Let me ask you, what was that like learning online versus going to the classroom? Was it harder? Was it easier? Was it different?
It's more difficult just because it's more difficult to learn online for me because, like, my teachers aren't really there for me, like, all the time. They're, like, only, like, there maybe, like, 2 hours, not even an hour, like, maybe 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more difficult, but I pulled it through, and I learned. So, yeah.
Well, good, good. Do you have any questions for Lydia Joseph? Well, Lydia, I want to thank you for stopping. I want to thank you for stopping by the booth. And I'm gonna say congratulations on your graduation and continue to learn. Surround yourself with positive people like Ms. Caraway and Mr. Leon Gatewood, and go out here and be what you think you want to be. What do you want to be when you grow up? You already sound like you're already growing up. What do you want
to
be?
I want to work for the FBI.
What? Go ahead, girl.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you a handshake because you know what you want to do, and you do everything you can in your power to learn everything you can about that, and don't let anything stop you from your dream. Thank you again, Lydia.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who helped us, especially Miss Kendra, because she really helped me, and thank you to you, too, because this is like a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. That was Lydia, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, this is going quite an experience for me tonight. I'm so glad we did this. I'm so glad we're here tonight. It's amazing.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful.
This is great. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff, man. So, Robert, you have a success story to tell yourself, man. I know you're kind of humble.
We're kind of low-key people, but I'm a kind of moving behind the scenes, taking it slow. But I do, just because it's me, it's my daughter and not me, but my daughter did graduate on Sunday from University of Virginia Law School. She received her Juris Doctor, and she will be practicing law in Washington, D.C., starting in September. So that's my little success story. Bless her heart.
Clap, clap, clap.
Oh yeah, let me give myself some love here. And I just want to say that regardless of what your profession, what your accomplishment, I think having it's a story I keep repeating over and over again, that none of us can do this by ourselves. It takes the village. Whoever brought that term to fruition, to bear, I think they deserve an honor in themselves, because the more I realize that I see what's happening tonight, Leon, is another example of the village coming together to propel these young people, to give them confidence, give them strengthen their faith, and to bring out such a variety of people like the chief and parents and these amazing young people. This is the village at work. It's what happens when the village comes together. So I just want to say hats off to you and what you're doing over there, Leon. It's amazing. I'm glad to be a part of it and glad to offer this platform to showcase what's going on right now down in Anson County, North Carolina.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, brothers. Our time's up, man. And this has been one for the book. I was so excited to have these young people here, be among the young people or the young positive people, and thank Tina Caraway for doing what she's doing with the Caraway Foundation, her and her mother and her staff. We'd just like to thank them. We give our hats off to them. We're also having the building in there, Mr. Weaver Knox Thomas. He's a magistrate here in Anson County. And he's one of the another leader that we call on all the time. He probably won't come out tonight to speak to us, but we'll get him back one day in the future. I see his big old white truck over there with Omega Sci Fi on the truck. He's proud of that. I won't hold out against
him. Let me give Joe some sound time here, Joe. Anything to add before we get out of here, Joe?
Oh no, you all have done a great job, and I just like to come in on the faith statement that the mother of I think it was Brian's mother. What's his name?
Adrian.
Adrian's
mother.
Mm-hmm. I just want to comment on that that exchange. The truth of the matter when she said that, I thought about the song that we sing at the family reunion sometime. We've come this far by faith.
That
really resonated with me. Talking about everything that I have done. If there was evidence that it could have been done, if there was laid out there, if there was the evidence out there, of course it would have been easy, but there was no evidence in anything I've ever done. And, of course, it could be true for you guys, too. Like, Ben, I think about in 1971, I was in Cottonfield. Cottonfield right up there on 52. And in 1972,
right.
I was in North Carolina Central University. 4 years later, I had a college degree, and
wow.
Started my own business, and of course, with no money. So, but everything that I've accomplished, and I'm sure you all can probably say the same thing, it was by faith, because there was no evidence in front of us that said that it was possible.
That's right. That's right.
Let me see if I can get Tina in a different clothing tomorrow. So I got that. We got a minute, I hope. Hey, look, Robert.
Yo.
Okay, yeah. We got Tina here. I just want to kind of give her a recap of what happened today. Here she is right here.
What happened? What happened was amazing. You know, I had 6 graduates today, and all 6 of my graduates were accepted into the Anson Early College. And that's absolutely wonderful. But all of them got accepted, and that was the icing on the cake today for that.
Amen.
And I'm just happy. I'm happy. Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Robert, thank you so much. And I want to acknowledge your brother, because if it wasn't for Leon talking me off the ledge many times, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, Holla. Thank you for all of the organizations that have participated in this evening and these young people's lives. Once again, thank you again from the Gatewood Brothers and the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. Thank you a lot. Thank you again. We'll have you back on the show again soon.
I'm going to
need
some refreshments, bro. We got refreshments, bro.
All right.
We're going in, bro.
All right, bro. See you. Thanks, man. Thanks again for a great show.
Thank you, brother. All right. Now take care.
Hey.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Put your hands together now. No.